Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
2024 Academy Awards are tonight. We got first looks at Tron, Ares, and The Crow reboot. And after the success of Dune Part 2, will the third film get made for Denis Villeneuve's trilogy? Let's get into this week's movie news.
What's up, movie friends? Welcome back to Raiders of the Lost Podcast, the ultimate film and TV podcast. You know what time it is. It's movie news time,
baby. Yeah, I was going to say, what time is it?
It is movie news, the weekly episode where we go through trailers, box office, news stories, casting announcements, and all sorts of film and TV related topics. There are a ton of trailers to go over, as well as a bunch of new movies at the box office. Let's first get into what are some of the new film releases on streaming that you can watch right now. Netflix just dropped Damsel starring Millie Bobby Brown and the first episode of The Gentlemen from Guy Ritchie. Hulu,
slow down!
Now has...
Slow down!
I'm so excited.
Relax! Before the episode starts, you have these like, let's make sure we like make this like a nice long episode. I'm like, dude, you're like gunning through this whole fucking thing. Slow down, Anthony.
All right.
You're like, let's take it easy, man. Let's have a good episode.
I'm just so excited.
Running through the entire document in 10
seconds. I love movies!
Let's take it back. Yes. Before we get to streaming releases, you're like doing new stuff without me. Like, I don't even know what this game plan is you got going on.
I got some things up my sleeve. It's because we haven't done this for 2 weeks. I haven't done the news.
We haven't done it for 10 days.
I'm like Ron Burgundy.
Let's slow down, Anthony. Let's go back and do the box office first like we always do. We always do the box office first.
How could I forget the box office?
I don't know. You're just running. You're like at the last story. Like, what are you going to take a shit or something? Like, what's the problem, man?
All right. Box office time.
One at a time.
As we always start the episode with, except for now. But now we're starting it again. Let's reverse. Kung Fu Panda, the first major release this weekend, came out on top and dethroned Dune Part 2.
Kung Fu Panda 4,
Kung
Anthony.
Fu Panda 4. Don't 4. Forget it. Don't miss out on Kung Fu Panda 4, which is getting great word of mouth from fans. Opened with $52 million opening weekend, the second biggest opening for the film franchise, showing that this franchise still has some paws. Get it? Has some legs, has some paws.
We are going to fire Anthony from the show right now. He's fired. Who wants to fill Anthony's seat in? But in second place, we have, of course, Dune Part 2. I'm surprised it got dethroned, but also it's Kung Fu Panda. Massive, massive fan base. People love that trilogy.
Animated sequels to IPs, they always do well.
Yeah, but Dune Part 2 still did very well with $44 million at the domestic box office. It brought its total in just, 10 days to $222 million globally. It's already outgrossed Dune Part 1's domestic U.S. total in only 7 days.
Keep in mind, Dune Part 1 was a day... Streaming day in theater release. Streaming in theaters at the same time.
It still made over $400 million at the box office.
But keep in mind, a lot of people watched it at home because they didn't want to leave the house.
I think Dune Part 2 is going to break $600 million. I'm calling it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Calling it.
I mean, Wonka broke $600 million.
Absolutely.
And Dune Part 2 opened well. And this is only a 47% drop second weekend from its $82 million first weekend. 47% is great.
That's really healthy.
Anything plus, under 60%.
I'm going to go back and see it. I saw it for free twice, but I'm definitely going to finally pay to see it in Dune.
Warner Brothers didn't get any of our money.
Yeah. Warner Brothers never gets our money.
But we helped them get money.
It's no big deal.
Yeah, we helped them get money.
No big deal.
And I expect Dune Part 2 with its word of mouth to actually overtake Kung Fu Panda next week, but we'll see. We will see.
I can see that happening because there's not really much new coming out.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of other new releases, Blumhouse's Imaginary opened with a pretty lackluster $9 million. Still, it's,
I wouldn't call that lackluster. Okay, I mean, they make it for like $100,000.
It looks like it.
Like, there's no way they spent a lot of money on Imaginary. So if you think about it, that's actually a great box office, Anthony.
I don't know. I think they want more than
let's
that.
Let's check the box. No, yeah, let's check the budget.
Are you gonna see this one?
Am I gonna see Imaginary? No, yeah. No, I'm not gonna
Why
see
not?
It because, like I've already said, I know what. Hold on, let me look up the budget. Let me do one thing at a time.
I'm gonna guess Imaginary's budget was $4 million.
$10 million.
$10 million. Okay.
It already matches budget. It's gonna be a profitable film.
Profitable film.
So it's actually a pretty good box office.
And then Cabrini, which is another new release, came in fourth place this weekend with $8 million. And then One Love, the Bob Marley biopic, is finally losing a bit of its steam. It had a very strong first 3 weeks of release. It's finishing up at $4.5 million this weekend, and it's also going to be available on streaming next week.
Very successful film for them. Cabrini, I heard about this movie, And I saw a movie critic say it's as good as The Godfather. And I was just like, come on, guys. What are we doing here? Did you, like, how much did you get paid for that?
What's it about?
I believe it's sort of a Mother Teresa figure.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. I can't remember who it's about.
How can you even compare that to The Godfather then?
I watched the trailer. It looks really nice, but I'm like, this is...
It looks nice.
It's
yeah.
not The Godfather. Yeah. Yeah. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
Slow our roll, guys.
What are we doing these days?
Everybody needs to chill out with their reactions. You can have a very good movie without having to say it's better than The Godfather.
I was just like, what are you... And you're a movie critic? What are you getting paid right now? You're probably getting paid.
Gotta get those headline clicks, bro. Gotta get the headline clicks. Mm-hmm. Now, as I said earlier, there are a bunch of new releases on streaming. Damsel and Gentleman debuted on Netflix. Pretty good numbers. All of Us Strangers, Poor Things.
I will say I saw a headline for Damsel today that pissed me off.
What was that?
I think it was from Variety, and it said, Damsel makes Rambo look soft.
How?
I'm like, it's Rambo?
What is that headline?
How does that make Rambo look soft?
What?
Couldn't
Rambo's
believe it.
The hardest guy who ever lived.
For real. In terms really of movie is. Characters, the most badass guy
Holy
there ever
shit.
Was. Green Beret.
Oh, my God.
Couldn't
Jesus.
Believe it.
Jesus, come on. I'm sure Millie Bobby Brown's great. She's a fantastic actor. It's not getting great reviews from audiences. It's only a 2.8 on Letterboxd right now.
It's pretty bad.
So people are saying it's not very good. I can now see why they pushed this film back a few months. Hulu has released a bunch of films that came out last year. If you didn't get a chance to see them, All of Us Strangers, which got only limited release. You can see that on Hulu, as well as Poor Things. So Disney bought up the rights to Poor Things distribution. You can see it on Hulu, as well as Next Goal Wins. On Prime.
Well, Poor Things is 20th Century Studios. It's a Disney movie.
Did 20th Century make it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a Disney movie, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a Disney movie.
Yeah, they funded that.
It's a family-friendly film.
That's why they did 20th Century
Incredibles,
Studios.
Poor Things.
Oh, my God.
Prime released Ricky Stenicki. It's a new major release from Peter Farrelly, director and writer. It's getting pretty good reviews. I know some people who have said it's hilarious and some people who said it was awful. So
it's a comedy starring Zac Efron yes. and John Cena.
Yes, it does star them.
Well, I'm just giving people background. You don't have to be sarcastic about it, Anthony. You're just naming movies that people maybe don't know about. And I'm just giving them a little context about the film.
Thanks for the context.
You're welcome. I don't appreciate the sarcasm over there.
Moving on.
I hope so.
Also available on Prime, Anatomy of a Fall. You can rent it for $6 if you didn't get to see it in theaters.
Recommend renting that.
Or Occupied City from Steve McQueen.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A really great documentary that got great reviews. And then on Max, Wonka is now available on the platform, as well as Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Lost. It's the last Aquaman. it's a lost movie.
It is the Last Kingdom.
Say, I recommend watching Wonka.
Yeah, Wonka's delightful.
There's chocolate. Then there's chocolate.
Jesus, he says that every day. He says it every fucking day. Every goddamn day.
I fucking love Wonka. I don't say it every day.
You say it every day.
I haven't seen you in a week.
I'm sure you sang it on the days I didn't see you.
That's not true at all.
I'm sure you did.
You brought Wonka. I got to sing the chocolate song.
Moving on to the top stories this week. As we said early in the episode, the Oscars are today. You can watch the Oscars on ABC or any other platform connected with ABC, like Hulu has an ABC package. So Jimmy Kimmel will be hosting for the fifth time this year. Ryan Gosling is definitely going to be performing I'm Just Ken, as well as all the other Oscar-nominated songs from a bunch of great performers. And for the first time since 2009, all of the winners for acting last year will be presenting the same categories.
I thought they normally do that.
They do it sometimes. That last year, there were two of them, but they're doing every acting category the former winners from last year will be presenting.
Gotcha. I thought
tradition that used to
happen. Yeah, it used to be every year. It's an annual thing.
They stopped doing it for all of them, but now this year, everyone who won last year will be presenting.
I think it's a really cool tradition. Same. I think it should always happen.
Yeah.
And we usually do an Oscars watch party on Discord with the Discorders. However, we are going to be going to Oscars event, so we'll be there today at 3:30, and we can't watch it with y'all.
We are presenting the Oscar for Best Picture.
So, you spoiled the news. Anthony, it's supposed to be a surprise. Raiders of the Lost Podcast will be presenting Best Picture at the Academy Awards.
We'll step out, and everyone will be like, who the fuck are these guys?
Are like four people will be like, oh, I know those guys. I've seen them on TikTok.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. I can't wait to present it to Chris Nolan. But yeah, it's going to be a fun event. It looks like it. And unfortunately, we won't be able to share it with our Discorders. But
unfortunately.
Anyone who's using our Discord regularly, there will still be a watch party for it.
Yeah, it will be going down.
Yes,
no
it's
matter
happening.
What. Now, let's get into some more news. So we had a couple of new images released from some upcoming films. One of them a reboot and one of them a sequel. So the first one was the first image revealed of Jared Leto in Tron Ares, the sequel to Tron Legacy. And he is, it looks like he's Tron. And also, it's got the red light. So
you think he's Tron?
It looks like he's Rinzler. He's like in the Rinzler suit.
I guess it was.
It looks like a Tron Rinzler suit.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, that's an interesting take to have him play Tron.
I mean, that'd be pretty cool. Depends on what the story is. As well as we got an image of Bill Skarsgård from the Crow reboot.
They actually released three images, James?
I have mixed feelings about, because first of all...
Okay, does it look like Joker or what?
Which Joker? Jared Leto's?
Jared Leto's Joker.
Looks quite a bit like Jared Leto's Joker. I don't love the design of the character.
And you recently watched The Crow.
Yeah, The Crow's awesome. Yeah. It's just that movie, I think it's a movie that if they do it well, it can be a good reboot. Mm-hmm. However, I just don't have a ton of faith in studios rebooting right now. I think it's a hit or miss situation usually. The Crow is something that's so unique and original, the first film, and the tone is so special. I feel like if they try to reboot it, if they're going to try to stay true to the original Crow, they'll fail, they'll miss. Because in that movie, he's like ripping electric guitar on top of buildings and in graveyards, and it works. It's sick. It's excellent. And it has an aesthetic of a different world. Mm-hmm. I feel like a reboot could go really well or just really poorly with this movie.
Sure.
But I'm excited because Bill Skarsgård's awesome. Again, I don't love the design of the character. It just gave me, like you said, Jared Leto Joker vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of just rapper fuckboy haircut.
It does have a fuckboy look.
It's sort of just like buzzed on some sides and like the bangs. But it's Bill Skarsgård. He's an awesome actor. It's a reboot that's been in the works for years now.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. We're going to get reboots. But then Tron Ares, I think it's really cool still. It looks awesome.
Now, in the director of The Crow reboot is actually Snow White and the director, Rupert Sanders.
Snow White and the director?
Snow White and the Huntsman director.
Like which Snow White movie was that?
And Ghost in the Shell director, Rupert Sanders. He's a good director. He's solid. He can get the job done. He's got a lot of experience with big budget films, so we'll see.
I just don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with this movie.
We'll find out. We'll probably get a teaser trailer very soon. But again, I mean, when I saw that image, I was like, it just reminded me immediately of Jared Leto's Joker.
Who I think it's a bit of a bad rap for that Joker, but it's just that it was utilized poorly, the character in that movie.
Sure. Yeah.
It should have just been Joker's the villain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we could...
Versus just torturing some guy in a room and driving a purple Lamborghini. That's all he was. He was just there for fodder.
It had nothing to do with the plot.
Not really.
Yeah. He showed up with a helicopter.
Not really.
Yeah. No, nothing really. All right, next up. Shogun, the new samurai TV series on FX and Hulu, became a huge success, beating The Bear as their most watched new TV show. However, will not return for a second season because this is an adaptation of a novel... And they ended the series just how the book ended, and the creators don't want to pursue the story any further.
And
Sonata actually was a producer on this. They released, I'm not sure if you saw this, a really great behind-the-scenes documentary of following Hiro Sonata on set for a day as both actor and producer, and it just looked like so much fun to be under the direction and leadership of someone like him.
I want to watch this ASAP because of how great the reactions are, and I'm a simple man. I see Hiroki... Sonata in a movie or a show. I'm going to watch it.
Going to watch the hell out of it.
I'm going to watch it. Sonata's a goat. He's a legend. It looks awesome, and it's supposed to be an incredible spectacle.
Spectacle.
But yeah, it's interesting. But yeah, it broke The Bear for most watched TV show for Hulu.
The Bear. Why don't you get into some Dune Part 3 news, James?
Oh, sure. So.
I had a feeling you'd like to talk about
obviously, it. The sequel's a success.
Do you have a hair clip on your shirt?
Oh, yeah, I do. I was using that earlier. Obviously, we all know Dune Part 2 was a hit. It's a success right now. And everyone's wondering, are they going to greenlight Dune 3, Dune Part 3?
Dune Messiah?
So Dune Messiah, which is the second book written by Frank Herbert in the franchise, would be the third film in Denis Villeneuve's trilogy. And he's been on record many times saying that it would be his dream to make the trilogy of what he's wanted to do. And he said the script's almost done. They've been writing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost there. And to quote him, he said, "I don't know exactly when I will go back to Arrakis. I might make a detour before... Just to go away from the sun, for my mental sanity, I might do something in between. But my dream would be to go a last time on this planet that I love," which makes sense to me because there is a time jump. And so it's better for the actors to age a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
As well as he's been working in the Dune world since 2018. As soon as he finished Blade Runner 2049, he was in pre-production development of Dune Part 1, just Dune. So yeah. He's been doing it since 2018.
He's been doing it.
He's been doing for 2018. He's been doing it for since 2018. And he's one of the most exciting filmmakers alive. And I think it's not too much to ask for him personally. I want to take a break. I want to do something else. Then I'll come back to doing and do another film in Arrakis. I think that's going to happen.
He's circling. There's a new science fiction project we talked about a few weeks ago that he's circling. That takes place on a space station.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would be excited to see him do another science fiction film.
I think he should take a break because I think we need that time period for the time lapse. We need Timmy and Zendaya to get a little older for the characters for the time lapse. I think that'll be really effective. But obviously, they're going to make a third film. He left it as a cliffhanger at the end of the movie, really. You know, the last shot is Chani about to jump on a sandworm. I mean, obviously, it's going somewhere.
Yeah.
That's not the end. You don't end like two movies like that.
That's not an ending to the story.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's especially people who haven't read the books. Yeah. They don't know how the story really ends or how it continues going forward. So I guarantee, and I'll put money down, that Dune Part 3 will happen. And I think it will be called Dune Messiah based off the book. As well as I think that Denis will make a movie before that.
Yeah. I think it's great if he makes another movie before it.
Me too.
Yeah. You need a palate cleanser. Because like you said, even though Dune came out in 2021, he started working on it 3 years before that. So he's been working in the Dune world for a very, very long time.
Probably needs a break from deserts.
Yeah. Needs a break. He's just sick of Timmy.
He's just super dehydrated, man. He's like really thirsty. He's just sick of wearing a still suit all the time.
Imagine if he directed in a still suit. Like an actually operating one.
If I was making Dune, I'd request a still suit.
Oh my god. All right, there is a new movie that just premiered at South by Southwest Festival as the opening night film.
Oh, this was the opener?
Roadhouse from Doug Liman, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor. This is getting a ton of fantastic reactions online from those who were in the audience of the packed opening night crowd. People are saying it is a fun, action-packed, and overall blast of a good time. It's an old-school style action movie like the ones from the 80s. And so people are saying it just like feels like that nostalgic 80s vibe, which we grew up watching those movies.
Hell yeah. Sign me the hell up.
Doug Liman did actually attend the premiere of the film. We mentioned earlier 2 weeks ago that he was boycotting the film's premiere.
That's right.
He did change his mind. I'm sure that Amazon maybe said something to him. We'll see. However, there still is no theatrical release set. This film comes out in less than 2 weeks on Amazon Prime.
That's silly, man.
People are saying that Jake is absolutely fantastic and Conor McGregor is great in his acting debut.
I'm so bummed because I forgot this was only getting an Amazon release.
A lot of people's reactions were saying that this deserves to be in theaters. That's like, it's like that big, fun movie that like seeing it on a small screen is not going to
be. I just don't understand the move. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. They better put it in theaters, at least for like a limited release. Like, why not? People want to see this.
I want to see it in theaters.
Yeah, me too.
I want to see Jake Gyllenhaal shredded in a theater. I don't want to watch that on my TV screen. If I'm gonna see,
you want to see those pecs on the big screen.
If I'm gonna see Jake Gyllenhaal with 12 abs, I want it to be in a movie theater. I don't know why would I watch that on my TV screen. Why? Amazon? What the fuck? He doesn't get in that good of a shape to watch on TV.
You gotta see those pecs on IMAX, man.
Come
IMAX
on, man.
Pecs.
Southpaw, theatrical release.
IMAX
was
abs.
Epic. Yeah.
There's also been a list of the highest paid actors of 2023. The top 10 is rife with a lot of familiar faces. To round out the list, starting from 10 to 1, we have Denzel Washington, who made $24 million in 2023 thanks to the
Equalizer 3 money, man.
Got it, man. Ben Affleck came in 9th place with $38 million. Jason Statham tied for 8th place with $41 million.
The beekeeper.
He tied with Leonardo DiCaprio with $41 million this year. Jennifer Aniston came in 6th place, with $42 million. Matt Damon and Ryan Gosling tied for the next spot of 4th place with $43 million.
That's
apiece.
That air money. Him and Ben got a $20 million check just to make that movie for Amazon.
And then Matt Damon's other movie paid him a cool $20 million too.
Amazon pays really
Oppenheimer.
Well.
Yeah. I guarantee Oppenheimer, he probably got $5 million up front, but then he got a nice back end.
Probably got some back end. But yeah, he got 20 up front just to do
air. Ryan Gosling obviously made a ton of money with Barbie. Tom Cruise, with his one release, made $45 million. As a producer of the Mission Impossible franchise, he gets a back-end cut. Margot Robbie made a massive $59 million in 2023.
Holy crap.
Also being the producer of her film Barbie, like Tom Cruise, she ended up making a very good back-end percentage. And then Adam Sandler came out on top, I think for like the fifth time in the last decade, with $73 million earned this past year thanks to his Netflix films.
Insane.
And just crushing it. Absolutely destroying it.
$73 million. But still, Margot Robbie pulling $59 million, and she's, what, like 31 years old?
She's our age.
Is she?
Yeah. Or maybe she might be 31. This makes me feel like I've done nothing with my life. I think she's our age. She might
Margot
be
Margot Robbie is 33. Holy shit,
yeah,
she
90,
is.
Baby. And look at us.
She made $59 million more than us last year.
Yeah, not us, man. Not us.
Not us, man.
Speaking of salaries, it was released that Christopher Nolan earned a very cool $72 million from Oppenheimer, having a 15% back end with his deal with Universal to make the film.
He made so much money.
So much money. And then I'm sure he's also got a back end for streaming numbers as well.
Oh, 100%.
In rentals. Yeah,
for sure.
So he's going to make at least $100 million in total from that film over the next couple of years.
I feel like he makes $100 million off all of his movies.
Well, his previous deals with Warner Brothers were 10% back end, and then Universal, just because he had so much fucking sway, I'm sure his deal was like, I want to be 15%, yeah. Baby.
Nolan went into that meeting. He put his giant dick on the table. He's like, I want 15 million, 15%. Take or leave it, Universal.
That's right, baby.
You want this? Push it in a wheelbarrow.
They helicoptered it in on a crane.
15%.
Give me that Nolan money.
Oh, my God. All right, let's move on. We got some news about
on a wheelbarrow.
I think I broke Anthony. You good, bro?
Yeah.
All right. We got some news and kind of an update on Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Well, Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Where we got two logo teases. We got Miles Morales' logo as well as Miles G. Morales' logo and official posts of the X of both versions of the character.
Official posts on X.
On X. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, on X. So it's the different realities of Miles in their logos as characters.
Oh, yeah.
So we have the Spider-Man one and that as well as the other one.
Well, perfectly said.
Thank you. I don't think I did say it perfectly well, but I did my best. It's so weird that Twitter's called X now. I read that. I'm like,
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. Anyways.
Let's move on to some Cillian Murphy news.
And it was posted on the Across the Spider-Verse X page and then on their Instagram page as well.
Copy.
So it's just a little tease, like, hey guys, I know we said it was coming out this month, but here's your photo.
Don't forget.
Remember when we said it's coming out today? It's just a photo today.
Yeah. This is the movie. This is Beyond the Spider-Verse.
It's not quite ready yet. Sorry about that. All right, next up, there's been a lot of rumors online of Cillian Murphy possibly being the choice to play the next James Bond. Pierce Brosnan, in an interview, said that if he was going to pick someone to play James Bond, he would pick Cillian Murphy.
I don't think Cillian would be a good Bond.
I mean, he could be.
I think Cillian Murphy is one of the best actors alive, but I just don't think he fits James Bond.
Maybe.
I don't think
he'd be better as a villain?
Oh, absolutely.
Bond villain? I'd love to see him as a Bond villain or as Bond.
It's like he didn't fit Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, but Bond isn't screaming in a gravelly voice, I'm James Bond.
But that's the thing. He didn't do that in his Batman audition. I'm just saying, like, he didn't fit the Batman role.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he fits that kind of character in terms of being
an action hero?
An action hero. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He's never really played action outside of Free Fire. There's a little bit of shooting that he does.
Yeah, Free Fire, a little bit on Red Eye, a little bit in 28 Days Later, the ending, sure. Yeah. But
He busts some heads in 28 days later.
Yeah, he does bust some heads in 28 days later.
With a pipe.
But I don't think that he would be obviously he'd be great, but I don't think he fits Bond.
So, James, why do you hate Cillian Murphy?
He's just too good. He's better than me. Okay?
Oh, we get it, man. We get it.
He's better than me, man. No, I just think he doesn't fit that kind of role.
Understandable. He is old. For Bond.
Yeah, he's got to be like 50 years old.
He is old.
Right, Killian's got to be in his late 40s.
48, maybe.
Cillian Murphy. Age.
32.
Cillian Murphy is 79 years old.
He looks great.
47.
47.
47 years old.
That's a bit old to start.
It's a bit old to start as
Bond. Old to start.
Unless you have an older Bond, but I just... Because they want to do a younger Bond, so...
Yeah.
I think this is just a rumor that it's just... It's nothing. It's just hype.
I think he could be a super interesting Bond villain.
Sure.
I think he'd be great. Yeah.
But not Bond. Okay, we got some Superman Legacy news. So now, the film, the first film of the DCU, has been changed for its title to just Superman.
Drop the Legacy. It's cleaner.
Kind of makes sense. Yeah, there hasn't been a movie called Superman since the first one.
That's true.
Yeah. I think that kind of makes
sense. Wow, you know your stuff. you know what you're talking about, man.
Live action. And also, Wendell Pierce has been tapped to play Perry White. Wendell Pierce, you might know from The Wire Kid.
Fuck yeah.
He's one of the detectives.
I always liked Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he was great.
He was a good Perry White.
Yeah.
But yeah, Superman Legacy is just called Superman now.
Yeah, why not?
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get into some movie trailers.
Ooh, yeah.
A couple of great ones. A couple of ones. First up, we have a Netflix trailer for Parasite the Grey, which is based on a popular manga series. It looks really cool. It's like a sci-fi, horror-ish, Invasion of the Body Snatchers type story.
South Korean, correct?
Yeah, South Korean. It's about this alien parasites that descend upon Earth and start invading the population, disguising themselves as humans while slowly taking over the entire population.
Very cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty fun. It looks really interesting.
The effects look awesome. Yeah. And the director of Train to Busan made it.
Correctamundo.
Sure did.
Man, that's why you get paid the big bucks. Not the Margot Robbie
Not
big
the $59 million a year. But you, $0 million a
yeah,
year.
Yeah, 0 millions. You have 0 millions.
I'm very lucky and grateful for the 0 millions.
Yeah. Better than nothing. Also, an adaptation of the very popular video game Fallout just dropped its first trailer, and it also looks like a lot of fun. I don't know anything about this game, but it looks like an interesting story. This is going to be coming out on Amazon Prime. Like I said, we've been saying video games are going to just be exploding into film and TV after the popularity of a few of the recent successful films. And this looks like a fun trailer. Walton Goggins, one of my favorite actors, plays a lead character, so I'm going to watch him.
My second favorite civil engineer.
My second favorite civil engineer. Next up, my favorite trailer of the week by far is The Bike Riders from director Jeff Nichols, starring Austin Butler, Tom Hardy, and Jodie Comer. This looks like a fucking flat-out fantastic movie.
Looks like a classic.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like a classic.
The kind of movies that like you grew up on, these really cool like epic stories about this subset community, you know, immersing you into the world of like this little culture, this little bubble. It looks like a lot of fun to see a story telling the evolution of biker gangs, and the cast looks phenomenal.
The first trailer was good, but it didn't have the bite that this one has.
Yeah.
This trailer... slapped. Yeah. I saw it for the first time in a theater a week and a half ago. It looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks really fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this. I think this is just so... I think Jeff Nichols is one of the, like, unheralded great directors in America right now. And because he makes smaller movies, I think he's just a really fabulous filmmaker, always telling stories of, like, in Southern America in really cool ways and varying his genres, which each one he's done... A small scale, he's done sci-fi, and now he's doing an epic like this. It looks like just could be his best film as well. Check out Take Shelter if you haven't seen it.
Take Shelter is terrific. There's a storm coming, and ain't none of you is prepared. That's my Michael Shannon impression from Take Shelter.
And just throw the table over now.
Well, I don't think my computer would hit like that. We also got a trailer for Inside Out 2. Have not seen the first one, but...
Yeah, so Inside Out 2, the little girl is now a hockey player, and she's a 14 years old, and it looks like twice as many personalities and emotions are joining the set of five that we are familiar with. It looks like a lot of fun. Ayo Edebiri and Maya Hawke join the cast, as well as a few other voice actors. And it just looks like fans of the film, the original, are super excited for this.
It's Ayo Edebiri.
Sorry, Ayo Edebiri.
You're going to make me flip this table.
There's a storm coming!
Ayo listens to our show, man.
Ayo does listen to our show.
We heard she, well, maybe not consistently, but we heard she's listened before.
She has heard of us.
She has heard of us.
She heard.
She heard.
Through the grapevine.
Yep. All right. We also got a trailer for A Gentleman in Moscow, which I did not watch.
Would you like me to summarize this?
Please summarize it.
I could see a look of a blank stare.
It was not a
help
look
me.
No, it
describe this trailer, Anthony. I didn't watch it.
I was just setting you up, man. That's what I do. I'm your hype man.
This is a miniseries starring Ewan McGregor. About a ex-patriot who is stranded in a hotel in Moscow. And the government of Moscow is keeping him trapped there, basically, as an enemy of the state. And so he has to basically live out the rest of his days in a hotel, kind of like the terminal.
So he's American?
Not American.
So he's a...
He's a Russian.
He's a Russian patriot.
Yeah, expatriate, yeah.
Copy.
And they're like... super pissed at him. So they're like, you have to stay in this hotel.
Super. We're really pissed at you, man. you have to stay in this hotel. Sounds Russian.
He's got a great mustache and he befriends like another girl who's in the same position as him. Not another girl that he's a girl, but like a girl. He befriends a girl who's also in the same position as him, trapped there, unable to leave. And so they're trying to figure out like, how do we first spend our time since we have nothing to do forever in this hotel, and then how do we get out? Look, it's a very charming, like, dark comedy. Very comedic.
Doesn't sound charming.
it's funnier than it sounds.
It doesn't sound charming at all.
It's made in the, like, the tone of, like, Wes Anderson.
It sounds terribly dark.
Speaking of terribly dark, we have...
Whoa, the Boston came out of you right now. Speaking of terribly dark... we smoked a cigarette for that
fucking,
one word.
What do you have, the fucking next trailer? We got fucking The Idea of You... which looks like I love a rom-com, but this does not look like a good rom-com, starring Anne Hathaway.
Oh my God, I saw this trailer.
She plays a single mom who hooks up with...
She's an art curator.
Single mom art curator who hooks up with the lead singer of a famous band that she met at Coachella. They had like a one-night stand or something, and then he finds her and they begin a relationship, and she's like, you're too old for me, and then the trailer ends.
It looks pretty fucking bad.
It looked awful. It looks like, honestly, it looks like one of those, like, what do you call it? Like the other channel, the cheesy rom-coms, that channel that plays those ones. Like Hallmark Channel movies.
Sure, yeah.
It looks like that, but with just Anne Hathaway in it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I love rom-coms, but this does not look like a good one.
It seems like an AI script.
Yeah. It does seem like an AI script. He's like...
ChatGPT, write me a rom-com about Coachella.
Like, so here's... The setup is like... He was playing at Coachella, and he ran into her before his set, and like they had like a little romantic thing. He's like, okay, I got to go perform. She's like, oh. He's like, yeah, I'm the lead singer of the band. She's like, oh, my God. And then like a month later, he finds her at her art shop. He's like, I'm not sure if you remember me. We met at Coachella. Obviously, she's going to remember you. How would she not remember hooking up with like the lead
Harry
band?
Styles? Oh, I think I would remember you. What is it? Styles?
Exactly. That's basically the
character.
Yeah. It's like, how obviously she's going to remember you, bro. I was like, who wrote this?
Anne Hathaway studied Olivia Wilde to play this role. Boom roasted.
Oh my God. Did you know like Florence Pugh was like helping direct that movie?
Was helping direct what?
Don't Worry Darling.
I heard a lot of rumors about that movie.
Fucking A, man.
Also,
the final trailer.
Harry spit on my man Chris Pine.
He spat on Chris Pine. Chris
on
Pine
man.
Is just too good of a guy to continue it.
He got I spat analyzed on. That video.
He got spat on
1,000 times.
He got spat on. People who said he didn't get spat on, open your fucking eyes. I'm sorry. He got spat on.
Spit.
Team Chris Pine. Hashtag.
All day. Oh, absolutely.
All day, all night.
Those baby blues, come on.
My man.
Pucker up with those lips. Then I saw...
Oh, my God. You want to see those lips at theaters?
He's got good lips.
You want to see those lips at theaters?
He's got good lips.
IMAX lips.
I'm like, if he's on an IMAX movie, those are some good lips. Moving on to... I saw the TV glow.
Sexualizing men in every episode.
That's what we do. Film boys. I saw the TV glow, another trailer for a horror. Is this a film or a TV series?
Film.
Horror film. Very trippy vibes. Very colorful. Very 90s aesthetic as well.
Yeah, man. This is
like a 90s horror
coming
TV
from
show.
A24. And it's hard to make out what the story is about, but it involves televisions. It gave me like Ring vibes, but with like a neon 90s twist.
Yeah. It feels like if you went to a Blockbuster and you were being hunted by a TV. I'm hitting Anthony right in the funny bone today. I know, it makes no sense.
Oh, my God.
We got some more news. So Ben Affleck made that movie The Accountant like 10 years ago.
That's accurate sentence.
It's an accurate sentence.
Ben Affleck made that movie The Accountant like 10 years
ago.
Yeah,
it was like 2014. And it's been snagged up by Amazon MGM for a sequel to it, also starring John Bernthal. I don't think Anna Kendrick will be back, though.
Why not?
There's no news about it yet.
They're keeping it under wraps, man.
She's The Accountant now. But it's an awesome, it's a cool movie. It's a great Hitman movie. Check it out if you haven't seen The Accountant.
He's a cool dude.
Ben Affleck.
He crunches those numbers.
He looks good in glasses, too. He does. When was the last time Ben Affleck seldom has worn glasses in film?
I would say just that movie.
I think so, maybe.
That movie. Just one time. He never did again. Matt wears glasses a lot.
He's worn glasses a few times, yeah.
Yeah. And he wears
Suburban
them in real life a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Good Shepherd
mm-hmm.
wears glasses the whole time.
He wears them as optometrist.
Anyways,
reading
some Austin Butler news. In an interview, he said that he was for his performance as Fade Rautha in Dune Part 2, he was inspired by Gary Oldman and Heath Ledger. Not surprising to hear, because those are two of the best actors of all time who have delivered incredible villain performances. Obviously, Gary Oldman, I think his best villain performance is in Leon, and then Heath Ledger was wonderful as the villain in Brokeback Mountain. I'm just kidding. In the Dark Knight.
He's not a villain.
Jack Twist is more of a villain.
Jack,
yeah, Jack was like being very forceful.
Well,
in a way,
he
was a villain to himself.
Ennis is a villain to
himself. He never.
He's not a villain.
He wouldn't let. No, I know. But he's his own.
His emotions are his villain.
He's his own antagonist.
Yeah.
He never let himself.
Yeah.
Become. He never let himself open up.
The
and
world's
be free.
The villain in that
yeah.
film.
Yeah.
Because the world doesn't accept him, and so he doesn't accept himself, Anthony.
Yeah. I know. It's just a joke. We actually did a great episode in Brokeback Mountain. One of our best.
Yeah, I think it's a terrific episode. It's a really sensational movie.
I will die on this hill. Brokeback Mountain's top five movie of the century.
It's a good
in my
take.
Opinion.
It's a good take.
Brokeback Mountain, one of the best films this century. I absolutely think
I respect that.
Yeah.
It is an insanely good movie.
I would put it in the top five of the 21st century.
Top 20 for sure.
Yeah.
Top 20 for sure.
It's that good.
Good. Oh, man. Now I'm going to start crying.
I know. I'm getting sad.
I'm thinking about the
It
shirt.
Could be the greatest tragedy ever put on film. It could be.
Maybe.
Could be.
It's up there.
It's up there. For show.
Freddie Got Fingered is up there, too.
Why would you say that one?
Because it's the most outrageous thing I could think of.
If anyone doesn't know, that's a movie that, what's his name? Something Green?
No, it's Tom
Green.
Tom Green, yeah.
Yeah, Tom Green made.
Yeah.
It's considered the worst movie ever made.
He was hot for a while.
Yeah, for like a year.
He was on, he was getting deals like crazy. He was making a bunch of movies and TV.
What happened to him?
His movies just bombed.
Yeah.
But he had a lot of deals. He made a bunch of movies and TV shows.
That's true.
Chad Stahelski, obviously director of John Wick, has signed a first look production deal with Lionsgate. And obviously the rumors are circling him doing a Ghost of Tsushima film. I think that's what we've been hearing mostly, right? Most recently.
It's not rumors. He signed on. It's just they haven't begun production yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a matter of time.
But does it say how many movies he signed with?
It does not say. It's just for 5 years.
Probably like a couple movies.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Smart.
He's a cool guy.
He helped build Lionsgate the last 10 years. Really beefed it up. Lionsgate, so in the 2000s, they co-teamed with Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And so they did like 300, a couple Zack Snyder films.
Yeah.
Godzilla movie. Yeah, they did a
300
bunch.
Was massive.
They were
dude.
Paired up with Warner Brothers for, I think, 10 years making movies. I think Lionsgate's always been a very strong studio.
Sure.
They've always been great.
Sure.
They put
Absolutely.
Out consistently good content.
Totally agree.
All right, next up, some more Dune Part 2 news. Timothée Chalamet talked about his upcoming Bob Dylan biopic, which he's making with James Mangold. And he said that he would love it if Austin Butler's Elvis would show up in the film.
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be fucking great?
That'd be awesome. Just
Holy
a cameo
shit.
In the background or something.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, how you doing? That was a terrible Elvis. I sound like De Niro.
No, you sound like Paul McCartney.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Paul.
All right, Dakota Johnson. Obviously, she was in Madam Web. She's getting some blowback because she's been talking smack about this movie. She said, I'll never do anything like this again. And what else did she say? It was definitely an experience for me to make that movie. I had never done anything like it before. I probably will never do anything like that again because I don't make sense in that world. And I know that now, but sometimes in this industry, you sign on to something, and it's one thing, and then as you're making it, it becomes a completely different thing, and you're like, wait, what? But it was a real learning experience, and of course, it's not nice to be part of something that's ripped to shreds, but I can't say that I don't understand. But also, you know, it's a good paycheck as well. But I saw her talking about how she signed on to a script where it was more of a Terminator feel, she said, and she would, the plot was her saving Peter Parker as a baby.
Uh-huh.
That was like the plot of the film, but it completely changed when they went into production and the script got rewritten.
I wonder why they would change it.
Because ChatGPT got a better idea.
That's a good one. That was a good one.
Hold on. Hold on, Sony. What if they're really good at math and stuff?
I mean, yeah, ultimately, I don't think the movie rests upon her responsibility for being good. It depends on the story.
Oh, yeah, it's not her fault that it was a good movie.
And it just looks like it was just a bad, bad script. I'm probably never going to watch this movie. I have no interest in it.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, but I'm sure she got paid, so that's fine. She got her money, I'm sure.
Yeah, she probably got like $5 million.
Yeah, probably more.
I mean, you're leading a Sony movie.
Yeah.
$85 million, you know, $80 million budget, so she probably got $5 million, probably something like that.
True.
Which is pretty good. Did you see the salaries for the cast of Dune Part 2 and Dune Part 1?
One and two, okay.
Yeah, so...
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yeah.
So Dune Part 2, I'm guessing Timmy got $200K. And then for Dune Part 2, he probably got $5 million.
Dune Part 2, he got $2 million. Mm-hmm. No, $3 million. And then Dune Part 1, he got $1 million, I believe. Mm-hmm. Then Zendaya made $2 million for part two, a couple hundred thousand for part one. Rebecca Ferguson, I think she made like $500,000 the first one. Momoa made like $3 or $5 million. Brolin made, I think, $3 million. Mm-hmm. And people might be confused. Why did Timothée Chalamet only pull $3 million for Dune Part Two? Because he probably signed a 2-picture deal.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the massive global superstar box office draw in 2020 when he signed that deal.
Yeah.
Versus now, I mean, he made like $12 million for Wonka. So that's what he's getting right now, like $12 to $15 million.
Yeah. I'm sure with Doom Messiah, he'll make $10 million probably.
Yeah, probably.
And, I mean, this is very common in Hollywood. Even with characters that are in movies that are extremely successful in a franchise, the actors, they are not getting paid as much as you might think they are.
Yeah, but a lot of them also work percentage gross into their salaries at some point.
I'm sure I bet Timmy got 1%
maybe,
of gross.
Maybe. For part two. Who knows? But, I mean... He's done pretty well. He's gonna have a successful career.
He's doing okay.
But yeah, again, he pulled like $12 million for Wonka. So now he's pulling that.
And then someone like Momoa, he's highest paid actor in Dune 1. That's because he was the lead. He was Aquaman. And so when he probably was making $10 million as Aquaman in movies, and so when you hit a certain quota and level, it gives you bargaining power with your agent to be like, I'll be in this movie, but I have to make $5 million.
He's a draw, too.
Big draw.
He's a draw.
I know a lot of people that saw it because they love Momoa.
Yeah.
And then Brolin, Oscar nominee, pedigree, experience, reliable. Everyone loves him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure Timmy signed a deal that if part two gets made, this is what he'll make.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why it was only like $2 or $3 million.
Yeah. I mean, people are surprised sometimes, but like even like actors like Hemsworth and Downey, they made hardly anything in their first roles as the famous characters they played.
I think Downey was $500,000 in the
$200,000
in Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
And then he gets $20 million for the second one.
Yeah.
Then he makes $50 million every time they make an Avengers movie.
I believe Hemsworth made $150,000 in Thor.
Yeah, probably something like that.
And now he made like $70 million for Avengers Endgame. So it's just a matter of it's building blocks. That's what it is. They have to prove you have to prove your blockbuster power. You have to prove it. And when you are a draw, then you get the big bucks. But you have to earn yourself as being a draw to audiences. Yeah.
But it seems like it's a pretty, you know, that movie, it seemed like the salaries were pretty spread out pretty well.
Yeah.
You know?
When you have an ensemble, like you can't pay actors $20 million.
But that's a good studio. Yeah, it's an ensemble, but also they're not paying any actors $20 million to eat up the entire budget, and they can put the budget to things they want to do.
Exactly.
Like, you want to be in this movie? All right. Well, we don't have to cast you. We can cast someone else. $500,000, take it or leave it.
Then we can double the production designer's budget, and then we can double the cinematographer's budget, and we can.
Well, not that. Just that. No. Then we can add better. Add more visual effects.
Yeah.
We can take our time with visual effects.
Totally, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did it right. They did it the right way. This is what happens when you make films the right way.
Yeah. That's one of the things about Hollywood, especially sports right now. They're just getting, actors are getting paid so much money.
Yeah.
So much money in some of these movies. Like when you're making $30 million for a movie, holy up front. Shit.
Yeah.
And the budget's $100 million. It's like you're eating up a third of the budget. Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
Yeah. Unless it's like someone like Tom Cruise or Margot Robbie where they're getting, yeah, they're probably getting 20 mil up front, but then the rest of their paycheck they're making back end.
You know? Yeah, and they're making sure the movie's going to be a success.
Exactly. That they're incentivized to make sure it's as best as it possibly can be.
But like a streaming release, and you're paying your actors $50 million to be in it, and what, maybe 500,000 people watch the movie?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that worth it?
And what's different with Dune is I guarantee you Denis Villeneuve was the highest paid person on both those sets. He probably made 10 mil of both movies.
Denis Villeneuve?
Yeah.
I doubt that.
Yeah. Big studio director, proved himself, 10 million per movie.
Maybe.
Guaranteed.
Maybe.
Guarantee you.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. 100%. Did you know that his wife is actually a second unit director?
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. She used to be a journalist.
Yeah.
They met on Arrival, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they met on Arrival.
Uh-huh.
And then she, yeah, so she's second unit on this one. She's also...
Her name's Tanya LaPointe.
Mm-hmm.
I just started following her on her Instagram.
Oh, no, I wouldn't.
But she started out as an assistant on Later on 2049.
Mm-hmm.
And then she moved into assistant on Dune and then second unit director on Dune Part 2.
That's pretty
which
good.
Is a big fucking deal, being second unit director of a movie like that.
That's pretty cool. That's crazy.
So it looks like she might be setting herself up to be directing films soon.
Probably.
Isn't that great, like, to be able to work with your partner?
Yeah.
Just like Nolan and Thomas do?
Snyder's, too.
Snyder's, yeah. It's just really cool. Downey's. Downey's doing a great job.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Good for them.
Maybe Juno will work with us someday. Let's get back in some more news. Speaking of Dune, we have Rebecca Ferguson. She has joined Chris Pratt in the thriller Mercy. It's her first movie since the big debut for Dune Part 2. It's not been that long, according to this article.
Well, first thing, she signed on since Dune.
All right, cool. Yeah. Now, this is a sci-fi thriller for Amazon MGM Studios. Wanted director Timur Bekmambetov will helm the film from a script by Marco Van Bell. Pratt stars as a detective in the thriller set in the near future when capital crime is on the rise and he finds himself accused of a violent crime and having to prove his innocence. Sounds like Minority Report.
He sounds just like Minority Report. Also, Timur Bekmambetov, he's good, but he's got too much of like a shaky filmography. Wanted's his best movie. He's made plenty of movies in Russia, but I think that, I mean, he hasn't proven himself to be a consistent director. So we'll see. We'll see. I do think that Chris Pratt and Rebecca Ferguson seems like a great pairing.
Yeah, it does.
I love them both.
Yeah.
Dearly.
Dearly.
Like family.
All right, what else do we got for news?
Mark Wahlberg said in an interview that his recent string of family-friendly movies is a design in his career. He's only interested in making movies that the whole family can see going forward. He's made his movie, his money. Especially with the Transformers movies. And so he's actually embracing getting older. So he's not going to try to keep doing like the action star roles as he gets older in age. And he's preferring to do the family projects, which makes a lot of sense.
I mean, he just did an action movie last year.
Yeah. What was the action movie?
He was like he's a spy in with a family.
Yeah, it was still a family movie.
Yeah, he's still shooting people.
I doubt it was like really intense action in that movie.
All right. Final bit of news. Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, passed away at the age of 68. His legacy will live on forever, a franchise and an IP that is loved around the world and some of the best characters ever written. I mean, Goku's got to be one of the best characters in fiction in the last 100 years, and it's a tragedy.
I mean, we grew up with these shows. They're great shows to grow up with. They had a lot of fun. I remember always being excited to come home from school to watch the new Dragon Ball Z episode.
What are you doing over there?
That's how they stand when they're not. They just spend half the episodes. When you actually sum down the plots, like, they stretch that shit.
Yeah, they do.
They stretch that. No, but, like, it was still great.
It was awesome.
I remember we used to draw a lot, and we used to always draw other characters.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z characters are big.
Like, I was, like, perfected their hair.
Hey, Boston Globe, what happened to my Goku I sent you? I want it back.
They framed it. It's in the editor-in-chief's office.
The best drawing we've ever had.
A crayon drawing of Goku.
Motherfucker, that was colored pencil, and it was the best drawing I'd ever done in my life. It was pretty good.
It's in the editor-in-chief's office.
That was a good drawing, you got to admit. Even you were like, oh, that's pretty good for Jim.
For Jim.
No, you're always better at drawing than me.
Yeah, no, you had talent.
What a way to put you had talent.
No, you're a good drawer.
I was way better than average.
Way better than average. Absolutely.
But you're always better than me.
I could just draw better, that's all. nothing to be ashamed about.
I was just dope, man.
But you got all the chicks, bro.
Beethoven. Yeah, we're a nine. I got all the chicks. And there's just drawing Gohan.
And Cars.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious came out, and I would draw Cars all the time.
I could just play.
Remember I did Jamie's project once?
You did Jamie's project?
He was in art school, and I did one of his projects where he had to draw a fish with pen dots. Mm-hmm. And so he asked me to do it, and I did it, remember? I spent a week doing it, and I listened to the new Linkin Park album on my CD player.
Crying in my sleep, these words, they...
So it was, he drew a pencil, like the outline. It was like fish in a tank with coral reef, and it had to be drawn with dots with an ink pen. And I'd spent a week doing it, and it was his project.
What did he give you?
I can't remember.
Probably gave you like 10 bucks.
Probably.
You're like, whoa, $10?
Oh, my God. I was in the downstairs kitchen doing it.
I think I remember that, yeah.
Night after night.
I remember that. Jamie took advantage of you.
Yeah, he gave me he had like very high-end pens, like artist pens. I had to do the whole thing with dots. Not dots in little tiny circles. It was how you had to make the image.
So you got Jamie's degree.
I got his degree.
It's so funny. He made me do his final thesis. Jamie, I want that degree.
Yeah, give me that degree.
All right. That wraps our episode of Movie News. We hope you all enjoy watching the Academy Awards tonight. I'm sure we'll react to it sometime this week. For episodes upcoming, we have tomorrow an episode on...
You just did it.
What did we do? I always forget the things we just recently did.
We did...
Hold on, it'll come to me.
The most remade movies
of all time. Most remade, most made characters, most made IPs.
Most adapted.
Yeah. So we went through the entire list. You'll be surprised what like the top 10 are.
You will be surprised.
So
you're gonna be shocked.
For example, A Star Is Born is a movie that's been made 4 times. The Little Women's a movie that's been made 6 times. These were on the list.
Yeah, and then there are some characters that have had more adaptations than you can imagine. That'll make your head spin.
More than you can imagine.
More than you could ever.
There's a character imagine. There are two characters that have over 90 film adaptations.
Crazy!
Wait until you hear about what we did. But it was an awesome episode. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So tune into that tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to become a patron at patreon.com/Raiders of the Lost Podcast. Get tickets to our live show in Boston on April 18th at raidersofthelostpodcast.com. Be sure to leave those reviews, 5 stars, please, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. As well as share us with your family and friends. It's the best way for a podcast to grow. Word of mouth is key to our success. Take care, everybody.
See you next time.
Thank you for watching Raiders of the Lost Podcast. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, hit the like button as well. Notifications for sure. Listen to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere you can listen to podcasts. And be sure to check out this other content we have on our YouTube channel.